Father, the more we grow in the reality of this love that you, who you are, and by the power of your Holy Spirit enabling us to grasp, the more we recognize the incredible love of your Son in giving his life for us and what you have done through him. And we're forever so grateful that just a growing appreciation and valuing you. And so we could sing those words about surrender. We could sing them with more meaning than we could have maybe even yesterday or a year ago. I want to thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in us that's enabling us to grow in faith, to grow in grace, to be able to grow in the reality of this love of Christ Jesus and to experience and to be transformed by the mighty work of your Holy Spirit within us. Thank you for that. Thank you for the change within us. Thank you for the growth within us. Thank you for your power that is at work, that's going beyond our own words and our own imaginations and our requests. It's by the power of your Holy Spirit within us. So we thank you as you continue to do this great work of yours within our lives, within your family worldwide, for an amazing moment where more and more of your glory is being revealed in and through our lives. So this we receive and thank you through Jesus, your Son. Amen. Amen. When I cut grass, it's a quiet time for me. It's a good time. And I feel like Moses when he had come to the end of his time with the folk. Like as most of you know, I've retired and I'm not the visiting minister here. And I feel like Moses that is giving final instructions to the family of God. I feel like Jesus, that at the end, he was giving final instructions to the body of Christ so that they can go on into the next part of their journey. And I'm very aware of the moments that I have and the importance of the hour in sharing that is important for all of us to hear what the Spirit of God is saying so that we can go into the next season, and for particularly as a church family to take seriously where we are and to commit this time to prayer, to seek the will of God. And so I want to share a little bit again this morning that I think will be very helpful for, the body of Christ. Over the last couple of weeks, we've had a look at a bit of the teaching on God's grace. And we've been focusing a little bit on the journey of Paul, and I'm going to just recap three scriptures before we look at something this morning. And here we have where Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says over here, "For I am the least of the apostles and did not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." And so we've been sharing quite a bit on this over the past couple of Sundays. But by the grace of God, I am who I am. So he's taken his eyes off his failures in these kind of things and he's realized who he is in Christ Jesus and the incredible grace of God, the favor, the goodness of God, God's involvement and what God has done in his life, who used to persecute the body of Christ. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. And so we focused a bit on that in understanding upon our lives. All of us, every believer here today, we have entered into, we have received the grace of God. We're not who we used to be. We're no longer that Adam man that we used to be, this incredible new creation in Christ Jesus. that has a love for God, that thinks differently, that behaves differently, that has a different value system, a different vision, different purpose, different desires than what we used to have before we got born again. So by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. So we're all experiencing that incredible, powerful work of God's Spirit within us. Now I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And that's one of the things that we looked at, was for us to realize the grace that God has given, for us to work with that grace. God's power, God's involvement, God's incredible ability beyond our own ability. And I gave a challenge concerning us as a body of Christ. What grace has God placed upon this congregation? And to begin to seek God so that one can work with the grace that God has given. Because it's easy just to make decisions. But now we're in a time where what is God's grace upon this family here, and to be able to work with that beyond one's own ability, beyond what we see with our natural eyes, etc., and to start to walk this and press in, because it's a faith journey of receiving the grace and applying and beginning to appropriate the grace. So it's a mind shift. Remember we spoke about prepare the mind for action. And it's taking and realizing, God, there's a grace. I don't want this grace to be wasted in our lives. You placed us in a town. Why are we here? And so let's work with this grace. So it's an active, it's a shifting the mind from just a very small self-centered kind of me kind of thing. But God, we are here. And it's that kind of renewing of the mind and growing in that. It could be in the workplace, wherever you may be. God, there's a grace upon me. Why am I here? I want to work with this grace. Why you got me in this place? And so it's a very active kind of a way of thinking, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then last Sunday we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. And I want to just quickly just read that again. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, where again, Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he says there to Timothy, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And so here we see there's a grace, and to work with this grace, and here we see to grow and be strengthened by this grace that is in Christ Jesus. So there's an incredible strengthening that comes with this grace that empowers us, that strengthens us, to be able to fulfill what God has called us to do. But it's all found in the person, Jesus Christ. And we looked at John chapter 1 verse 14, where the fullness of God's grace, the fullness of God's truth has come through Jesus Christ. And we are learning what it means to be in Christ Jesus and experiencing the strengthening ability of God within us, to be able to complete the race that God has marked out for us. And so there's a power. So He's helping us to recognize this grace is not just a fridge magnet, but this grace empowers us. It equips us and really gives us the energy that we need and the power that we need to be able to be who God has called us to be and to become who God has created us to be. So we looked at that last Sunday. And I mentioned just quickly, and I want to just mention again in 1 Peter, here, 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, where Peter is speaking about the same thing, and he's sharing with the body of Christ. And there in verse 18, he says to the family of God concerning just the grace of God, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." So you're working with the grace, acknowledging God's grace, becoming stronger, being strengthened with the grace of God, but also growing in this grace of God. And all of us are growing as we become aware, as we work with it, our mind is active, we've renewed our mind and we're receiving. So on a daily basis, we're putting it into practice. We are realizing, God, today there's a grace. upon our lives today, and I want to thank you for it. And now with your Holy Spirit, I want to walk in the fullness of this grace, and we become more conscious. By faith, we are receiving what God has given to us. But also we looked at Romans chapter 5, where we saw there that because we've been justified by faith, because through Christ Jesus, now we have received this incredible grace by faith. We have access into this grace. And Hebrews writes all the time, come approach the throne of grace to receive help, etc. So it's a daily activity to go beyond our own abilities, to go beyond our own ways of thinking, and to enter into more and more growing in the reality that we in the Spirit, who are we in the Spirit? Who are we as children of God, as sons and daughters of the living God? Who are we as this new creation in Christ Jesus? Who is the body of Christ? Who are we as a body of Christ? And it's for us to grow in that. So it's never passive. All the time, it's keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, taking truth that the Holy Spirit is sharing and appropriating that so that one grows in the grace that we have received in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a very important part of our journey in these areas. Now, one of the things that I think today is an important just to share. Most of the time we're focused on, God, what's your will for my life? And we're very much focused on, Lord, show me your will. What's your will, etc. And we spend a lot of time really seeking, God, what is your will for our lives as an individual person? But I'd like to have a different starting point. And suggest a different starting point than saying, God, what is your will for my life? My suggestion today for the family of God is to rather have a starting point like this. Father in heaven, what is your will for your family in the town that you're living in? So from me to the body of Christ, the redeemed, the called out ones by the blood of Christ, who Christ himself has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve our living God. What is our Father wanting to do in the town, in the city, in the nation that we are in, his family is in? And for me, this changes everything because we start to understand the prayer of Jesus in John 17, we'll look at now. So when we start to say to ourselves, what does our Heavenly Father want us to do? And we can go through many scriptures here. You know, I think the well-known one, there's in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus teaches us to pray and he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Our Father. So straight away, he's sharing with the family and saying, listen, family, you have a Heavenly Father. Let's ask him what he wants to do. We want his will to take place. And that suddenly begins to shift the way we think because we move away from the individualism Christianity and we're moving into the reality that God has a family. Every born-again believer in Christ Jesus, and the Father wants to do something. His kingdom come, his will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And all of a sudden it opens up an incredible pathway, a journey of interceding for the family of God all over. And it breaks the denominationalism. It breaks, this is my church. It breaks all of that stuff. And we begin to really pray for the family of God in a town that God has placed us in. And we start to enter into who are we in the Spirit? Who are we as your family? Father, what do you want to do to display your fullness through your family living in the town that you've placed us in? We go back to Acts chapter 17 when Paul is saying over there,
that God has placed us in the places where we are, the times that we're in, so that people will discover Him, seek Him. So what is our Father wanting to do through His family here for the unsaved that God has placed in the town that we're living in? We know His will. He wants them to find Him. He wants them to discover Him. He wants them to know Him. So we begin to realize, but Father, You placed Your family in this town. Thank You for that. And we can begin to really pray for the body of Christ in a community, in the nation. And as we grow in grace, you can pray for the province, you can pray for the nation, and as whatever, as we grow in grace. But work with the grace God has given each and every one of us. And there's a grace to pray. There's a grace to discover the will of God. There's a grace to hear the voice of God. There's a grace to know what our Father wants to do in the town, in the nation that He's placed His family. A wonderful portion of that. Well, it is before going to more scriptures. When we begin to say, Father, what is Your will? And we begin to pray for that. We then begin to go to that second part of this kind of prayer life, is to begin to say, okay, Father, this You're sharing now, and we want to ask that You, by Your Holy Spirit, will reveal to Your family Your will to be done. What is it? Now we begin to pray for the different church families, because now we can begin to really pray for one another from a place of the Father's will being done. And so, Father, what, and this is why I shared the other day for us over here. Father, this is when You're revealing what Your will is. Now, what's our part in this? What's the Methodist part in this? What's the Pentecostal? What's the RKS? What's the NGS part in all of this? How do You want to reveal Your fullness through Your family in all the different denominations? And there's a growth over here. There's a love for one another. We're starting to grow in the prayer of Jesus, Father, the glory that I have given them. I touched that just now. The glory that You gave me, that I can be one with You and You with me. I've given it to them. I've given it to them, that they may be one as You and I are one. I just say that you can feel the shuddering of the demonic when they hear these words, what we have been given, but we haven't realized, we haven't grasped it yet. But you can hear, you can feel that the demonic shuddering, because they don't want the body of Christ to come and say, Father, what is Your will in the town? What is this glory that your Son has given us, that we may be one? As You and Your Son are one, Father. That's deep when you go into that and you start to grow into this oneness that Jesus, our Savior, has given to us, this glory. But we all get there. So we're starting to then begin to pray for the family of God. And every single prayer that Paul prays for the family of God is all the time, Father, share with them what Your will is, so that they can live a life worthy of the call. Share with them, Father, what Your will is. Give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that they may know You, that they may know You more, they may know Your Son, Jesus Christ. Share with them, Father, give them insight so they can be fruitful and they can bear the fruits of righteousness in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Share with them, Father. So now we're praying for the whole family of God and all the different church families that are existing at this time. Share with them, Father. Share with us. Share with us, Father, that we may be fruitful in Your calling and the purpose that You're wanting to do. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. So it's a growing in this grace, working with the grace that our Lord Jesus has given to us. And then finally, we then can say, okay, Lord, where do I fit into it? Because each and every one of us has a part to play in the Father's glory will for our towns, our nations that we're living in. Where do I stand in it? So now we're praying for the revelation of the Father's will for his whole family in a town. We're praying for the different denominations, how it's at the moment, how it's been arranged. And we're praying and realizing, yeah, Sasselburg Baptist Church, Father, how do we fit into that? Now, what's my part in it? What's my part in all of it? What's the grace upon me? What's the grace upon us? And so there's an intense time to really seek the will of God, praying for one another so that we each and every one begins to understand what is God's will, what's my part in the great will of a Heavenly Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. By the grace of God, we are who we are. We're no longer who we used to be, self-centered people that is just about me, myself. Now we're in the kingdom of God, and we're advancing the kingdom of God. There's a grace to advance the kingdom of God upon each and every one of us. Where does this family fit into that? As I've shared, my time is coming to the end of this. And you guys are going to need to, Lord, show us, because if you're getting the understanding, you know, as you start to call a new minister eventually, you begin to understand the will of God. It's not just going to be a, oh, this is what we need, blah, 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 blah. No, we know, we've heard our Father speak to us what he wants to do and our part in us. We've heard the Father's will concerning us as a family. We've heard how we fit into the family of God and our participation, the anointing, the grace upon us. We've heard. So it's not guessing work. We've heard. We're in a very serious moment. We ask, may the Spirit, he who has ears, let him hear. As Jesus would say to all of us, let us hear what the Spirit of God says. In John chapter 17, the prayer of Jesus. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And then he says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of this world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. And so here Jesus is busy praying now for those disciples that are there with him. And he goes on and he speaks about for God to protect them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. I'm coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Now we start to see something about this oneness that Jesus prayed for. And because he prayed for this oneness, you and I are able to live in the reality of this oneness because he has prayed for it. There's never been a prayer that the Father never answered his Son Jesus. He has prayed for you and I and for the generations to come. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled.
So I'm coming to you now, and I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they will have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you take them out of this world, and that you, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. What is the Father's will? Okay? And then Jesus prays for the rest of us that now have believed from as his early disciples, the apostles went out and shared the gospel. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father. Who is our Father? Father. See, we his family. And Jesus is praying for all of the Father's family that's going to come through the message as they believe this incredible gospel, good news of God concerning his son Jesus Christ. That all may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me, and I have given them the glory that you gave me. He's speaking about those who are going to believe. He's speaking about you and I. I have given them the glory that you gave me. He's already done it. Profound truth this. Meditate on this. Ask the Holy Spirit to take us into what this is all about. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. This glory that Jesus is speaking, it's a very profound truth that he's sharing here. In the beginning, he shares about, Father, I brought you glory on this earth. He says, Father, glorify me with the glory that I had in the beginning. And he prays, Father, let them be one as you and I are one. And now he continues and he says, but Father, the same glory that you and I have, of us, of our oneness, of you and me and I and you, I've given it to them. I've given it to them, that they may be one. And we know when the Holy Spirit came into our lives, this became such a reality. And this glory that Jesus speaks about, he's speaking about a now glory. He's speaking about a future glory. He's speaking about another part of the glory that we read there in 1 John chapter 3, that when he appears in his glory, we too will be, participate and appear and be in his glory. There's a whole future glory that still needs to manifest, but you and I are now able to live in some aspect of this incredible glory of oneness as we grow in this. This glory speaks about the intrinsic worth, value of God. It's about who he is. It's a total sum and display of his being, of his nature, of who he is. And we participate, as we read there in Peter there, that we participate in his divine nature, this miracle of being born again and participating in this incredible oneness with God.
by the Holy Spirit. The inward value, the weight, the worth that's in us as His body of Christ is beyond anything in this world. And Peter, Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3, and he prays and he says to the Father, Father, now unto Him that's able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine, according to Your great power that is at work within us. For, so that Your glory can be glorified in Your Son and through Your Son and in and through the church. You and I. So as we begin to grasp, Father, that Your glory, Jesus, You've placed a glory within us, this incredible worthiness, this value within us, that we may participate by Your Holy Spirit in Your nature, that we may be one with You, just as Your Son began to know and walk and be one with You, we too can have that same kind of life of oneness. Father, Your will for the family in Metsamaholo, that we may be one because You've given us a glory. How do You want to manifest Your glory in us as the family of God in the town that You've placed us in? Whoa! Can you feel how the enemy shudders if we grasp this? Can you feel the darkness shaking and trembling? Because we as a body of Christ, it's yes, we're going to take this. This oneness, this glory that God has placed within us and given to us, we're going to walk in it. There's a grace upon our lives to walk in this glory of God within us, that we may be one, that we may live as Christ demonstrated of this oneness with the Father and the Son. So in Rome, in John chapter 14, when Jesus says, but can you not know? Why are you asking, show us the Father? Can you not, don't you know that it's the Father and Me that is doing His work through me? What is the Father wanting to demonstrate? What does our Father want to do through His family? So that through the family, like with Jesus, the world can see who the Father is. As the Father works through you and I, revealing His glory, manifesting who He is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, can you see the seriousness and the hour that you and I are in? Where it's not about ourselves and our self-centeredness, but we've died to that old man and we're in Christ Jesus. Can you see why it's so important for us to begin to say, Father, what is Your will? What do You want to do? How do You want to reveal Your glory through the family? Through us. Father, share this with the family of God. Reveal this to the family of God. Open up, give them spiritual insight and wisdom with the family of God. So that each one in the family will begin to be, I offer my body as a living sacrifice. Father, every member of my body, every part of me, I give it to You to be an instrument, a weapon of Your righteous glory to work through, so that You are made known, that You are revealed. We spoke about the void. And one of the voids that's a reality in South Africa is our Lord Jesus Christ has, through His blood, has redeemed from every language, tribe, nation. He's redeemed us. We belong to Him. And He Himself has made us into a kingdom of priests. One of the great voids in our towns is a body of Christ not living in our calling as kingdom of priests, which allows the enemy to have so much freedom. But God has given us a glory, His glory, this oneness by the Holy Spirit, that we may be one as He and the Father are one. When the Spirit of God comes into you, the Father and I will come and make our dwelling within you. The great gift the great miracle of being born again by the Holy Spirit, who we are. So, I encourage you, as I said, I'm aware that it's like Moses giving the final ways. My time is coming to an end. It's important. I know I've got a job to do. I'm working in the grace God has given for whole 1947. I have a grace to what's you wanting to do? What's your will? I pray for the family of God. Spend a lot of time just really pressing through, working with the grace to see God's promise for 1947 to become a reality. But where does the family, this family, fit into it? When you're seeking for a new pastor, get to know God's will before you seek, so you know what God's will is. Steve is leading, and his leadership, support him, pray much for him and Dickie as they seek the ways of God. Pray for one another so that's not just a church thing, but connected to the grace upon each one and upon this congregation in the way forwards. So Father, thank you through Jesus that you have given us the most incredible gift of your glory within us. This new nature, who we are in you, Jesus, Holy Spirit, because you're in us, this intrinsic value, this worth in us is greater than any money, any material thing. Thank you for this glory. We want to grow in it. We want to be able to see more and more of your full revelation, of your manifestation in and through our lives. And as we come this morning, Jesus, and we participate in the celebration of what you did on the cross for us, we're celebrating that what you spoke to your disciples and what you prayed to the Father. We celebrate the gift of your glory that you've given to us by your Holy Spirit for this oneness. Jesus, we want to thank you that you are enabling us to participate in something so beautiful that we understand it's no longer I who live, but you, Lord, that lives in us. And we can only say, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus, your blood has purchased us. You've destroyed the power of sin in our lives. You have placed your resurrected life within us by the Holy Spirit. You have given us the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit, His incredible law of life, your life within us. You have imparted your life into us. You have imparted that into us, your righteousness. You've imparted into us your nature by the Holy Spirit. What a privilege that in some miraculous way we can participate and receive. We are never going to be divine. It's not us, it's you. But we can participate. We can really begin to experience you, your life in us. And we thank you for that. So thank you for your blood, Lord. Thank you for your body that was broken for us. Thank you for that this morning. And we give you the praise and glory. Amen. Amen.